That is, that's right. That is
we
proper.
We can find an application
according to the elders. Yeah. Well, we'll just a specific. Yeah. Well, why don't we get started? Mike, can I get you to open in prayer?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'll be glad to.
Thanks.
Holy and Almighty Father, we come before you now. We humble ourselves, realizing that it is you who has redeemed us. It is you who, through your Spirit, opens our eyes to your word to understand. We pray for that understanding now. We pray for your blessing on Barry as he opens your word and presents it to us and teaches us. We pray that our thoughts and our speech will honor you, will build us up, and that you will cause us to understand more of what you would want us to do to be your saints and your servants. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So we are in Proverbs 2. And we've just gotten through the first six verses. Oh, I read nursery volunteers are needed. We'll see Beth Carbonella. If you are willing to serve in the nursery the rest of this term, she's going to need a few more volunteers, especially if we divide up the twos and threes out, which we're thinking about doing. So if you could see me or Beth, if you're willing to, if you're not already and willing to serve in the nursery, that'd be great. All right, verses 1 through 6, and we're looking at this second sermon of the Father to the Son, and we went through these verses to determine they're not commands given, but they are instructions still on the preface to or the requirements for achieving wisdom or achieving the fear of the Lord. And so what are these things in these first six verses that are steps to acquiring wisdom and understanding? Except now we've moved from here in chapter 1 to accept
store up commands.
That's right, treasure or store them up.
Search.
That's interesting, store up, because that implies work.
Yeah, and it's when you look at this, yeah, it's looking at this responsibility to achieve, you know, these steps to wisdom, but I want to compare these as we go through these, because it says, if you will accept my words and treasure or store up, or, you know, and it's this idea of absorbing for later use, like memorizing scripture, for example, and make your ear attentive, so you're listening, and then this inclining your heart. Remember, we talked about how you incline your heart, how that, what that means, and we think of it as like a relationship between a man and a woman, or, you know, our relationship to Christ. You know, to lean in, or to lean towards, or incline, and turn our heart towards that person, or, in this case, our heart to understanding, and then come the things I want to highlight before we start today, verses 3 and 4. It says, for if you do these things, and then in verse 3 to 4, there are these three, I'll call them steps. What are they? And somebody said, I think Grace had said one of them. Call out, right? Cry out or call out. And it was the same word used for wisdom's sermon in the public square, where wisdom was calling out to those. And so it's this idea of calling, and what else?
Crying aloud.
Yeah, is that the second phrase of verse 3?
Yeah.
In yours?
Yeah.
So crying aloud, or lifting your voice, crying aloud. So it's crying out earnestly. It's not just asking. With a raised voice or a loud voice. And then verse 4.
Look for it as something very precious.
Right. Okay. and search for her as hidden treasures. And it says in verse 5, then you will discern the fear of the Lord. That you'll understand what it means to have the fear of the Lord. Which, remember, is the foundation to understanding Scripture. To understanding the Proverbs was the fear of the Lord. What does this sound like? This calling out, crying aloud, lifting your voice, seeking as precious. How would you, I mean...
Sounds like somebody desperate.
Somebody desperate for or really earnestly seeking after. Are there similar words that we hear in the New Testament for different things we're to seek for, call out for? I guess...
the kingdom of God.
Yeah, the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things will be added to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. This idea of seeking after, calling for. I also think of it as similar to, you know, when we talk about the means of grace. You know, when we talk about how it is that we are, and Dave preached about it today, how is it that we are empowered or able to follow Christ, incline our heart to Christ, or follow His commandments. What are those? What is it that empowers us to do that, and how do we achieve that power? Now it's getting warm in here. I turn the heat up.
Well, it's only as the Holy Spirit inspires us, isn't it?
Right. So the Holy Spirit's power empowers. And this is the theme over and over again in the New Testament of the Holy Spirit drawing us to Christ, drawing us to salvation, and then empowering us to live for Him. When you look at Galatians, and we'll look there a little bit, and then Galatians 3 and 5, chapter 3 and 5, and Romans 6 through 8, this idea of, you know, having a responsibility to seek, to search, to live for Christ, but then recognizing that we can only do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. And how is it that we can have the power of the Holy Spirit? What are those things that we can do in order to have our heart open to the filling and empowerment of the Holy Spirit?
Pray.
You know, calling out.
Barry, I also think it's interesting how this calling out and so forth parallels wisdom in the last part of Proverbs 1.
Right.
We already went through that.
Sorry.
One of the foundations of teaching, though, is review. Is review, right?
That's right.
Right. So reinforce and review is it's exactly right. It compares to wisdom's crying out to us. And we, in turn, call out in prayer. It's the same type of, you know, that is what we're to do. We're to pray. We're to also, what's another means of grace?
Yeah. The storing up and the seeking, I think, refers to studying God's Word.
Right.
And there again, it's the Spirit that's going to give us the understanding of His Word. But when I wake up in the morning, I have a conscious decision to make. I'm going to turn the alarm off and roll over, or I'm going to put my feet on the floor and go open my Bible. And it's the Spirit who gives me the power to do that, but I still have to exercise my will to do that. And I think that's the, you know, one of the gifts of the Spirit is self-discipline.
So, yeah.
So we have a, you know, we have to struggle with that. You have to fight to do that. Things that will bring
recognize
us.
That we on our own aren't going to accomplish that.
Right.
That it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit we're going to do any of these things that Christ is that we are commanded to do. We're still commanded to do them, but we have to recognize it's not in our power. And that's again what Dave was saying. You know, struggling with culture and the world around us. How do we get out of that? And how do we have victory over that? It's through dying to ourselves, dying to the sin, and living in the Spirit. How do we do that? how does the Spirit live in us? You know, we have this access with prayer, studying God's Word, and through studying God's Word, have that understanding given to us by the Holy Spirit. And that causes our heart to incline to Him. And I don't want to ignore the similarity, because I think that it is, you know, exactly parallel to what we're, you know, learning in the New Testament about the Spirit's power in our life. Wisdom's, you know, achieving wisdom, we've seen it before in the first chapters, is through the Spirit giving us discernment and Spirit giving us wisdom, not us memorizing and understanding on our own. Because it says, if we do these things, it's the Lord that gives wisdom. Because when you look at verse 5 and 6, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. And so, you know, we talked about verifying Scripture by Scripture. This is completely consistent with the teaching in the New Testament on the power of the Holy Spirit, understanding the Scripture through this process. And then, what's the result of that? What are some more results of having God's wisdom, understanding the fear of the Lord? We look at verses 7 through... turn the page. 7 and 8. What's the first result of the Lord giving us wisdom?
Victory.
There's victory.
Protection.
Yeah. Protection. Victory. You know, victory over sin. Protection. And as we're talking about here, victory over sin. That's what we're going to turn to next is...
My erasure?
No, I don't think it's a drag race marker. Great.
It is.
The board needs a little...
It's low odor dry erase marker.
That's a problem. You need one with more odor.
That's right. Then it will work.
But so it also says guards the course and protects the way.
Yeah.
Guards so that's the interesting path. Reference to a journey that we're on a journey.
Right.
Guarding our course and protecting the way.
Right. And that's what when we look at Galatians and Romans in a little bit, it's the same protection. We're talking about the Spirit's protection from sin being the conqueror of our life and being able to turn from sin and turn to the fruit of the Spirit instead, or have the fruit of the Spirit in our life. So it's protection because verses 9 through 12 then, the protection is from, first of all, another consequence before we get to the protection is verse 9. You'll discern righteousness and justice and equity and every good course. Does somebody else have a different verse?
Understand.
Mm-hmm. And it's this idea of then you'll understand, you know, what's right and just and fair in your life with others. How to treat other people, not just what our relationship with God should be, but our relationship with others should be guided by this wisdom from God. And when you look at Romans, can somebody look up Romans 8:31-39 and someone else Ephesians 6:10-20? It's Romans 8. Okay, so Tyler's got Romans 8. Somebody else have Ephesians 6?
I have Ephesians.
Okay. Everybody can turn to it. But Romans 8:31-39. Tyler, can you read that?
What then shall... Wait, 8:31?
8.
Okay, sorry.
Chapter 8, verse 31-39.
What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who is raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution and famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
So what are we protected from with God's protection? This wisdom and understanding of the fear of the Lord. Are we protected from death and nakedness? And, are we given riches and health? Is that the protection?
Protection is that we won't be able, nothing will separate us from the love of God.
Nothing will separate us from the love of God. And this idea of protecting our path and protecting us from the power of sin and protecting that influence over our life is the protection we're given with this understanding and wisdom. And, you know, the power of the Holy Spirit protects us from those things so that nothing separates us from the love of God. You know, we may go through all that strife and nakedness and sickness and everything else, but we are still protected, and our soul is protected from destruction. Even death doesn't take us from the love of God. So it's this protection we're talking about. You know, I don't know if you, when you're a kid, you learn that song, I'm happy, happy, happy all the time. And I don't know. I'm like, I'm not sure. I'm very confusing to kids. I'm like, oh, I'm not happy today. I must not be, you know. But it's that. That's not it. It's God will be with us no matter what circumstances we're in. And then Ephesians 6:10.
One question on that. So the flip side of that is that lack of wisdom will separate us from the love of God, and not in a total separation, but will diminish our relationship with him.
It doesn't separate us from the love of God, but it certainly will diminish our, it diminishes our relationship in a sense of, you know, just like if you're not having a relationship, it is broken with your spouse, you know, if you're not talking or you've caused some offense,
right,
or with a friend.
You're still married.
That's right.
But you're not
still
enjoying that fellowship.
Right. You're losing out,
right,
on that fellowship. Yeah. So your relationship's hindered. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. Just like your prayers can be hindered by different things. If my husband's not treating your wife right, your prayers will be hindered. That's in Scripture. So it's this idea of that protection is granted to us. And then Ephesians 6:10-20.
Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take up your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should.
So, what is the armor protecting us from?
The devil.
The attacks of the devil.
The schemes of the devil.
The schemes of the
devil. The arrows, the fiery arrows.
So that in the end, we can stand firm against the attacks of evil that would bring us down into sin and destruction of our soul, but also the destruction of our relationship. You know, that would keep us captive to pulling us into sin. And what's the armor? You know, truth, righteousness, gospel of peace, faith, salvation, the Spirit, which is through the Word of God, prayer, 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 prayer. I mean, the prayer was repeated throughout the last verses. So, you know, as we look at this, this calling out, you know, and having, you know, salvation, the Spirit, faith, you know, all these things are, you know, some are our actions of prayer, but all through the power of the Spirit in giving us that protection and giving us the ability to do that. And so then we look at the rest of these verses. You know, as a result, it says in verse 10, for wisdom will enter your heart, knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. In Psalms, it talks about knowledge being sweeter than honey. Discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you. You know, you'll understand what to do in those situations that are temptations. To deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. And as you go on, those things, it's the same thing. What will we be protected from in verses 13 through 22? I'm sorry.
Well, there's
19.
There's three different things. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man. And then down in verse 16, to deliver thee from the strange woman.
Right.
That's the second thing. And the third thing, verse 20, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. That's three different things.
Yeah.
And the verses that are after, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, 13, 14, and 15, tell you who that guy is. Look, you know, look what this guy does.
Yeah, this path is crooked. They delight right. in doing evil, rejoice
and then
in
verses
perversity.
17, 18, and 19 are explaining who the strange woman is, you know.
Right.
Because for years I read that and I said, wait a minute here, doesn't make sense. You read it, and then when you get to verse 20, that thou mayest walk in the way of God, and it's like, nah, something's wrong. It was my understanding that it was wrong.
You got to tie it back up to the
right to
what
the verse,
it is it's protecting.
Verse 11.
Right. It's not the wicked man or the strange woman. And the strange woman is, I mean, we already talked about the gang, you know, drawing the son in. It's the same thing here, you know, where the evil one is the path. It's always talking about paths and which it will lead to darkness. And these people who delight in doing evil, rejoice in perversity, and all their ways are devious. And then this added to, you know, the strange woman or the seductive woman, who is a woman who's left her husband of her youth and is leading the son to adultery and fornication. And this picture that's given in this proverb of that path being, you know, for surely her house sinks down to death, her tracks lead to the dead, none who go into her return again, and nor do they reach the paths of life. This idea of those who go into her with that sin or are captured by her sin have no way of escape without the power of God. It is just, you know, and it gets more graphic in chapter 4. Which, that's right.
Something I think is interesting in this, like the sin of adultery, adulterous
yes.
things. I was thinking about that, you know, that can be like a real physical adultery.
Mm-hmm.
But it can also be like when Dave was preaching in James about us being adulterers because of the idols and the other things that we put up in front of ourselves and serve instead of serving the Lord.
Right.
It can also be on a spiritual level. So it can be on a spiritual level, it can be on a physical level.
Yeah.
I think that he's probably more insinuating the spiritual adultery here. So, I mean, it makes very clear the physical adulterous, but I think more so that he's trying to protect our hearts from the lie.
Right.
Yeah, there's so many things out there that are drawing us in with this seductive speech or attractive sin that would lead us away from God and would be an idol in in interrupting our relationship with God. So just like being adulterous worshipers or followers of someone other than God, the same kind of picture. It's a very graphic picture of adultery. When you think of it that way, and you think, well, my, not putting Christ first or God first and worshiping, or, you know, it's not really an idol. It's just something I need to do today or want to do today or is more important to me. You know, that's the idol, that when you compare it to that type of sin, that's what it really is. It hits you a little harder. I don't know what that means. And then there's the promise, though. That's right. As Dale was saying, verses 20 through 22, so you will walk in the way of good men if you have this protection of wisdom and understanding and the discernment of the fear of the Lord. So you'll walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For surely the upright will live in the land and the blameless will remain in it, but the wicked will be cut off from the land and the treacherous will be uprooted from it. I did want to look quickly at Romans chapter 6 and 8, because it's the same idea in the New Testament that we're hearing here in Proverbs of God's protection over our path, over our life. And how is it that we're freed from sin's grasp? So in Romans 6, I encourage you to read all of 6 through 8. I love it because it's hard to just pick verses out of Romans without reading through and get the whole flow of it. But Romans 6 through 8, I will pick a couple verses. 6, chapter 12 through 13, verses 12 through 13. Jay, do you have that?
Therefore, do not let sin reign in your 12 and 13.
12 and 13, okay.
Do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness.
Right. And so we're to offer ourselves to Christ, not to sin. How do we accomplish that? Look at chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. Does somebody have that? Chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. Run, or Kathy? Kathy, go ahead.
There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit.
So it's this idea of setting our minds on the right thing, setting our minds on the Spirit. And it's Christ's sacrifice that paid the sin's penalty, so we're free from that law and death and sin and by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of life that we've been given through Christ's sacrifice, that allows us then to set our minds on him. And then verses 12 through 16 of chapter 8, Rhonda.
12 through 16?
12 through 16. Mm-hmm.
So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God.
How easy is it for us to go to our real Father when we are in need, and our Father meets that need? You know, it's easy for us to think about that. Well, you know, I got this, question I have, or, financial problem I have, or I just have some issue I need guidance on. And have you ever gone to your Father and asked for that kind of help? You know, God's standing there the same way, asking us to rely on him and trust in him, live in him, present ourselves to Him in these areas of need, and He will give us strength. 26 and 27 of chapter 8. Do you have that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God.
So, in our weakness, who helps us? Spirit. Even knowing how to pray. You know, we're commanded to pray, but the Spirit, even we're so, in some ways, we're so weak that we don't even know how to pray, and the Spirit is there to help us and pray for us. And you know, not necessarily put words in our mind, but actually intercede on our behalf to pray for us. So if we get this idea of, okay, I'm supposed to walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, and have the power of the Spirit, how am I supposed to do that? Well, that's not the right question. How can God accomplish that in me? And it's through the Spirit, through prayer, through studying the Scripture, but even then, it's the Spirit who helps us, we see over and over again, understand Scripture, and the Spirit even helps us in our weakness to know how to pray. If we just say, you know, I give it all up. I don't know what to do. I don't understand. I need your power. I need to know how to pray. I need to understand. And, you know, He can, the Spirit can give us that understanding, but also can either give us the words or pray on our behalf for those things. And so it's this idea, you know, how do we discern wisdom? How do we discern the fear of the Lord? The Lord gives wisdom. The Lord gives understanding. I just want to make sure we grasp that as we move on. Yeah, Mike.
And so then I think it's a valid thing to ask, what should I do?
Yeah.
But the priority is, once we completely relied on the power of the Spirit and understand and acknowledge that it's the power of God that's going to help us, then we have to say, you know, how do I do that? And I go back to the earlier example. So I become convicted that I have to be more regular in my worship and study of the Word, and how can I do that? So in looking at my schedule, I decide early in the morning is the best thing to do for me. So I say, set my alarm early in the morning and pray and ask God for the strength to get up to do that. And then when my alarm goes off, I have to take some action. I either roll over and go back to sleep, or I get up out of bed. And I'm trusting in the power of the Holy Spirit, but if I roll over, have I sinned? If I get out of bed, you know, have I been obedient? You know, that's kind of like, what do I do? Now, it's completely trusting in the power of the Spirit and the strength that God gives me. But I can't lay in bed and say, okay, Spirit, put my feet on the floor, so to speak. I have to actually, you know, pull the covers, let my feet get out in the cold air, yikes, and then, you know, get out of bed. That,
yes.
It's a sort of like, you know, the practical application of the principles.
Yeah, no, I mean, do we have a responsibility to follow Christ, to do what He tells us to do? Yes.
Right.
And
there's a 7 a.m. Prayer meeting over here.
morning. That's right.
Chuck
will call you. Or John will call you. Someone will call you. But yeah, I mean, you know, God gives us a fellowship of believers who can, you know, encourage and help us. We're to encourage each other. Those who need encouragement, we all need encouragement. But that's right. We have a responsibility. We can't just lie there and say, okay, I'm not moving until the Spirit rolls me out of bed. Well, mm-hmm. Be careful, because maybe you will.
That's right. yeah, we did have an earthquake. Right.
But
so.
We have to understand that, but, you know, we can't take credit for any of those things we do, because it's not our power that has anything to do with it. It's, we can want to incline our heart, want to pray, want to cry out to Him. And we have a responsibility to do those things.
Right.
There's only through his power that we can accomplish any of that.
We can't think that, okay, so I did get up this morning. Now that action of getting up is gonna make me righteous before Christ, before God. I can't think that. That's totally wrong.
Right.
To do that. But I can say, this is, you know, praise God, he's given me the strength
today
to obey him.
Yes.
And I've yielded, and there's blessing in that.
So. Right. Right.
I can enjoy that.
And it may be, it doesn't have to be 5 a.m.
No, and it doesn't have to be in the morning. That's all a personal thing. And it's wrong for me to say, oh, you need to get up early in the morning like I do because God's blessed me and he'll bless you. That's totally, that's totally wrong.
Please don't
it's
call
the
me.
Spirit working.
Don't call me.
That's right.
Kathy, but, say
well, I mean, the thing is, the minute that we start looking at ourselves, you know, in that situation, it's like you've probably had the experience where you do something that's right, that's really right, and then you see yourself doing it, and all of a sudden your motivations, you know, go down the tube. And you think, well, I did a righteous thing, you know, and then...
Or worse, somebody says, wow, you really did a great thing. That was so great what you did.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's because we're all,
wired
that way.
Yeah.
Where we look to our own selves, look to each other to say, wow, that is great that you did that. And it is great you did it, but it's great the Spirit empowered you.
Right, and I think
that,
right, that's a temptation. That's a temptation to look to our own glory. And, you know, some people will be more tempted to do that. Some people less, depending on how they're made up. But that's definitely a struggle.
To
be looking out for.
Right. Well, good. Good debate. It wasn't really a debate. There's no argument here. I was all geared up for it. We ought to close. So, Terry, could you close in prayer?
Sure.
Please?
Okay. Thank you. Father in heaven, we do thank you again for your word, for all of it. Particularly for Proverbs, for the reminders and the warnings that are in there, and for the discussion that we've had, reminding us that the acquisition of wisdom is really all about you, and that our responsibility is just turning toward you and to receive what you have for us. We do pray that you will be with us in the coming week and help us to remember the things that we've talked about and to act on them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Next week we'll talk about how do you know what God wants you to do? And what do you do with your money?
We may get to one of those things.
What do you do with your wife?